Let's Talk About It podcast. Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day you're listening to this. Welcome to the Let's Talk About It podcast. I am your host, Mark K. Benton II. And with me is my other host, my wonderful PIC partner in crime.
Oh.
Say what's up, boo. I got you. She is back, ladies and gentlemen. She is back. How are you doing, Mia Moore?
All right, real talk. I'm like real sleepy.
Well, tell the people why.
I'm real sleepy because my sleep schedule's been so off the last couple of days. So I went to sleep super late and woke up super early today because my beautiful, vivacious, wonderful niece started school today. And I just left the car rider line from picking her up, and she gets in the car and she's like, I had the best day ever. I was like, okay. And for anyone who knows her, knows like she is not an eater. So we're like, so did you eat lunch? She's like, mommy, I didn't have time. Like, what? Is your social life that popping on day one?
Oh, man.
So, yeah. That's why I'm tired. Yeah. We've been up. Like, we went to bed really late and woke up super early, and my sleep pattern's been off for a couple of days now, so.
Well, yeah. You've been traveling, too, a lot, you know,
yeah,
hanging with
family.
Yeah,
that, too, and the Texas heat is not helping.
Okay, no, let's get more specific. The Dallas-Fort Worth heat is not
I'm sure
helping.
It's the same way in Texas. I mean, in Houston. Let's look it up. Let's look.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
If y'all have never been to Texas, by the way, it is, well, in the Houston area, which is where we met and went to school, it's very humid out here, but Dallas-Fort Worth is just a whole another beast. It's another monster.
Okay, it's 98 degrees in Houston right now, and when I went to pick up my niece, it was 105, and it's still 105.
Yeah.
I will say the dry heat
does make a difference there.
Yeah, but there is a prediction of 100% rain. Hallelujah! I've been praying like
we're
one of
be
those
gone
prophets.
For that.
No, tonight.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Tonight.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, we're not still going to really
like, what's that prophet that prayed for rain?
Good question.
Old Testament.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Cool. Yeah, I was like him. I've been praying for 2 weeks
now. I was
going
to say no, but he didn't pray for it. The Lord's going to happen. Oh, man. Hey, it's been a while that we've gotten to do this together.
It's been a while. You never invited me back after our last...
That's definitely not true. Don't be making up no lies now. You know, you better go to the Lord and repent.
I get it. I'm too real. You can't handle
that's
the truth.
Definitely not the truth. We've been giving you a break. We've also been having some other great guests.
Yeah,
we had my mom on here.
Yeah,
and she did wonderful.
She did do a great. Yeah, I wish like as I was listening to it, I wish we could have kept her on longer without it feeling like this 5 hour sort. Like, and I know it wouldn't have, but I felt like there was just so much there. And yeah, I really like, I feel like it was condensed. And I was like, I really wanted to unpack that. But yeah, she did phenomenal.
Shout out to you, mom. So what Juby is saying is we need to have you on here again and basically have a...
We just need to do sessions.
Yes, that's what we need to do. Hey, sessions with Mama B.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a podcast idea. There we go, Mamas. She's our like number one fan. So shout out to mom.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then did a little solo caster last time, which is, I don't know, those are always... fun, but also weird because I prefer this a lot more. But the solos, though, it's just different. But I'm glad to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
But we did some...
And that you're not intimidated by my awesomeness.
No. If anything, I need your awesomeness, which is why I'm so glad you're back. But we did some, a little Q&A, basically. We put it up on Instagram and Facebook. And so you are going to help us navigate some of these questions. But
so high key, these are my favorite things to do because I am always praying that you guys would ask us something off the wall. It's been so PG and I'm just all like, start a riot. Speaking of starting riots, if you hear a toddler screaming in the backyard, please don't be alarmed. That is just our other beautiful niece who is very vocal in her life right now.
Yes. Oh, oh. Speaking of.
That was on cue.
That's just like her, too.
Was on cue. Yeah, so honestly, these are some great questions. And like I said, Q&As are my favorite because you guys do ask some great questions. I told Mark the next time to do it anonymous because I feel like people are more bold when it's anonymous. So that's when I'm hoping to start the riots.
And by the way, if you guys ever turn in a question, you can say, hey, can you please ask this question or answer it and don't mention my name, which we're probably going to do anyways today. So
Well, they might not want to know that they asked right. that. That's even to you.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, no, they don't even want you to know.
Well, you need to help me set that up then.
All right, cool.
All right. Go ahead. First question.
Cool. First question. Anonymous person asks, how do I know it's God telling me to do something I have prayed about and not me?
So what I love about this question is it's easy to, of course, if you're trying to figure out the difference between God's voice and your own voice.
Right.
So I'm going to start with the basics. The first thing is you got to know God's word.
Fair.
You have to know what God's word is, because it's easy to go, well, what's God's will? But I would start off and ask you, well, what does God's word say? Mm-hmm. And here's why I say this part is important. Oftentimes we're trying to figure out what God's will is versus our own voice. And if we're trying to pray about something that many times God's already spoken to about in the scripture. So sometimes you don't necessarily need to be praying for what God wants you to do. Sometimes you just need to read and see what God wants. So for example, you don't need to pray about tithing. Like God's word says it, mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to pray about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And there she is again, guys. But you know what I'm saying? You don't need to pray if God is asking you to forgive.
Yeah.
That's something you just need to walk through, you know? So I would say the first thing is, if you're trying to discern and figure out the difference between if it's God's will or if it's you, you need to discern first, go back to the scripture. Always go back to what God's word says. Mm-hmm. So it implies that if you're not in God's word, it's harder to know than who he is. I mean, it's no different with your own job. You know, in the army we call them rules and regulations. There's a lot of things that you don't have to ask your supervisor, you know, your first sergeant commander is the language we use, because you know what the rules and regulations says.
Right.
Right. They teach you that. There's certain things you don't need to ask because you already know what's written in it. But it's the same thing with the scripture. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two, this is kind of ironic. I was listening to a series. I had no idea what it was going to be about. But Tim Ross started a series.
That was going to be mine.
Yeah?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So we're going to come back to that. So he did a series at the very beginning of the year, and we can put it in the show notes of the description of this episode. But he did a series at the beginning of the year called Led. And basically it was about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But he was talking about a lot about the book of John, and I'm in part two now. Now he's in the book of Acts. But when you go to the book of John, John chapter 14 and 16, there's a part that Jesus says in here. He tells his disciples, because the disciples are getting up in arms about Jesus leaving, because Jesus tells them, I'm leaving.
Bye.
Right. And where I'm going, you can't come with me.
Yeah.
So the disciples, of course, again, all upset, like, what do you mean you're leaving us, Lord?
This exclusive club.
Exactly. That's what it really feels like for him. Yeah. But he says, it's to your advantage that I leave.
Yeah.
Because if I don't leave, then I can't send you an advocate. He says the advocate won't come. And it's capital.
And he did say send you, not send Jew.
Yes.
I know the times, you know.
Yes, you, not Jew. Yeah. But he said, I cannot send you the advocate. Another version says the comforter, capital C. Another one says the counselor, also capital, or the helper. These are all capital in any version that you read. What he's referring to is the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say the Spirit of truth will reveal to you what the kingdom of God, you know, basically what my Father is saying. And he goes on to say that they're in one agreement, like they're not separate. So the Holy Spirit's not going to say something that misrepresents Jesus, and Jesus is not going to represent something that misrepresents the Lord.
Right.
So when you read throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, which is known as the Gospels, he's never going to say anything that's different. And Jesus even says, I'm not saying this on my own accord. I'm saying this on behalf of my Father.
Yeah.
You know? So all that being said, it's the reminder that, number one, you have to be in his word. And then number two, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, if you have said yes to Jesus, you have the advocate with you.
Yep.
And I think many of us do life like we know who the Holy Spirit is, you know, like awareness of it. But do you actually know him? Like,
I would even argue that if we even have awareness of it, it's like, it's kind of something I think you say, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, but like, is there even an awareness? She's a mama's girl, and if her mom's not giving her attention, she will go bonkers right now. So that's probably what's happening.
Bear with us, folks.
So I don't know, like, I think there is also a lack of awareness.
So let's talk, why is there lack of awareness then? What are some barriers that not just you've personally gone through, but people that we've done life with?
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like we make Christ more complicated than he is. Like,
okay.
I think the answer to Christ is pretty simple. I'm not saying life as a Christian is simple. I'm saying the answer to Christ is pretty simple.
Which is?
You know, like, read the word and kind of do what it says, right?
Book of James, yeah.
Yeah. So we want to complicate it and be like, oh, the answer can't be that simple. It literally can't be what I'm looking at right now.
Mm.
You know, so if you are going through a season where you're just not like, I don't know if it's me or like if it's the Holy Spirit, I have learned to surrender it back to Christ multiple times. And the advantage that I have being a married person is if Mark and I are not on the same page, we don't move forward. That's just how we do it. It's just like, hey, this is the answer I have. And if I have that answer. So a couple of weeks ago, we had to make a decision. And I personally didn't feel that was the decision to move forward with. And I really wanted to be like, this isn't it. Just tell him that. But I had to surrender it back to Christ and be like, okay, if both of us do not have the same answer, then it's not the answer.
Mm.
Then we go back to the drawing board. And I think it's, this is also when journaling comes into handy. So what I was going to refer to was being a cloud chaser, because, you know, when Moses was leading Moses, right? Mm. Yeah. Not Noah. Yeah. Moses. I was like one of those old people. Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were led by a cloud by day and a fire by night. So if the cloud is moving, you move with the cloud, you know, and God will make it very simple. And the number one thing I think is journaling. Like, God will speak to you and you don't even know it because you're so busy writing it down that when I have gone back and looked at my journal, I'm like, oh, the answer was here all along.
Which implies then what? You have to go back and read
it. I was just like, I don't know what it implies.
No, but you know, like when we hear journaling, people just think they just journal and that's it.
Yeah.
Like that's part of it. Like part of the release of journaling is just getting out of your head and on the paper.
Yeah.
But the gift of it is to go back, like you said, and look at it.
Yeah. And God is not a God of chaos. There might be sadness that comes with a decision. There might be like, this is not the decision I want to go with. But God is not a God of chaos that you're going to be tossing and turning all night. Like when God gives you an answer, he's going to make it pretty solid, you know, and you have to be, despite how much it hurts, despite what comfortable or uncomfortable situation you're coming out of, you have to be okay with saying like, I'm good with that, you know, and that's the hard part. So that's when we start questioning, is this really God? Because it's outside my comfort zone. This doesn't make me happy. And at the end of the day, this is not about our happiness. This is about our holiness, right? So I think more often than not, the time we question if it's really God or if it's us is when it's actually outside of our comfort zone. But it lines up with everything else that Christ has said. Mm-hmm.
You know? So I would say then the heart behind this question is you need to be sure that your heart is right.
Mm-hmm. As someone who has walked through, at least that I can recall, like two seasons where I knew God gave me the answer. And because it was outside my comfort zone, I decided to stay. The cloud moved on and I literally had to be pushed out.
Oh, those years. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like two, like, and that's just that I can recall from my adult years. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like two instances for sure. I'm just like, man, God told me to do it. And I didn't. Because I'm just like, I know better for me than God does, right? Mm. That can't be God. God wouldn't do that to me. Like questioning his sovereignty, questioning his ability to take care of me, when literally it says, do not worry about what you'll eat and drink. Do not worry about this. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its own worries. So I'm pretty passionate about this because I know for me, it's going to come back again. There's like, I already know it. Like it's going to come back where he's going to ask me to do something. And I am so serious about getting it right this time.
I think people appreciate this because everyone's been, and I remember that season. I remember, I think I was wrapping up my deployment in Afghanistan.
Because I remember calling you crying like, you don't understand.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because I felt like you and I don't want to say similar, because here you are, you know, the Lord told you to leave something, you know, and in my case, I felt like I was essentially forced into something, you know, that necessarily have quote unquote a say in, but it's a reminder of, like you said, many times I would even say, I just want to tell you as a listener, you probably know that it is the Lord. And because it is so much outside your comfort zone, you're looking for a reason to not do it.
And he'll let you.
Go ahead.
He will.
It's so good.
What Oh, believe me when I said, believe me when I say. He'd be like, I bet fam, you know?
So talk about the consequence of that.
The consequence.
The consequence and the gift.
Well, the gift is, I'm learning the second time around.
So on one end, it shows the graciousness and the generosity of our Lord because of the gift of free will.
Right.
And that he loves you so much.
Yeah.
He's not going to force himself on it. But the other side is.
I can share, I literally remember one morning. So my church in Houston, every morning around 6 a.m., they used to do this prayer and you can get on a call and just be part of it. And I remember this particular morning, I was getting, and I know exactly where I was. I had just gotten Blue Angel, which is my 2012 Honda Civic. May she rest in peace. And I was about to merge onto I-10. And because, if you don't get on there by 6 a.m., I-10's a parking lot. So I'm about to merge onto I-10, waiting my turn. And I heard it clear as day in my spirit, I want you to quit your job. My immediate response was I laughed and I said, do you know the bills that I have? Because I had just bought my car, just graduated. So, hello, student loans. Mm-hmm. You know, Sally Mae was just like, I know it was like your sugar mama for there for a while, but got to pay back, you know? So, and I'm like, I'm a brand new graduate with a brand new car and a really old student loan, you know? So I remember I literally laughed and I was like, do you know the bills I have?
Mm.
And that was it. He never brought it back to me. I didn't think about it ever again. And literally a year later, I ended up getting laid off. And I struggled through some months of it, of being unemployed after that. And it was really tough because my whole identity was wrapped up in what I did. And I'm like, no one else understands my plight. You know, it's just me alone. So I went through the pity party and I tried bribing God. I did. I was like, Lord, if you give me a job, I'll give you my entire first paycheck.
I totally forgot about that.
Try to bribe him. And I think I still had to wait a few more months before I found a job. And I still did tithe. I was just like,
You gave the whole paycheck.
Yeah, I gave my entire first paycheck away after being unemployed for months. So this is where the graciousness of God met, even though he was all like, hey, I'm going to remove you from a situation that I asked you to leave willingly. The graciousness of God was that in those months, everything was completely provided for. I literally couldn't tell you how I paid my bills. Mm. I don't think I missed a single student loan payment. And, and back in the day, that it was $350 a month, that's another car note on top of the car note I have. Mm-hmm. So I never went hungry, never been stranded on the side of the road. I've never been what am I going to do? Right. So that happened in February. I didn't get my next job till September. I did odd things here and there, but other than that, God absolutely provided.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the graciousness of God. But please believe that if you're going to tell God no, he'll be like, he's the best way. Someone said it to me when I was in college is God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's not. He will tell you. There she goes again. He will tell you. And it is truly up to you if you want to listen or not. And I have chosen the latter. Mm. I was like, no, I know better for Juby.
So, man, there's so much here that you said that I kind of want to go into a little bit. The first thing was you said that I remember that I want to talk about is you said you can put your identity in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think to anyone who's listening, that might be where they're at. That the reason why they haven't left is because you've put your identity. So I would say if you're trying to discern this, God, is this you or is it me? Maybe a great filter question to ask is, do I have my identity in this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so hard for me to give it up. That's the first thing. The second thing that I also think about, I kind of want to go a little backwards. You mentioned it, but I want to go a little deeper where you said, if you and I are on the same page, we don't move.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you guys
if we aren't on the same page.
Yes, we're not on the same page. Excuse me. Let me give you the theology behind that too. Genesis is very clear. It says, in marriage, two become one.
Mm-hmm.
So if two become one, and then Paul doubles down in Ephesians 5 and says how husband's life revolves like Christ loved the church. So in this analogy of marriage, husband is represented of Christ and the wife is represented of the church. They're always on the same page. Always. So here's the deal, men. If your wife says no, it's a no.
Yeah.
And guess what? Vice versa. Women, if your husband says no, it's a no.
And that's not going to come right away because
correct.
I'm even thinking 24 hours ago, you and I were trying to make a decision. Mm-hmm. You were pro. And I was like, I wasn't
you
against
no.
it.
I just wanted to rhyme.
I wasn't no, but I was like,
you're apprehensive.
I was apprehensive, mm-hmm. but I wasn't going to come at you because I feel like I gave you my, you know, side of the story. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't think he's really like, not that you were getting it, but I was just like, you were so sure on your yes that I was like, okay, God. So I remember last night when I was finally falling asleep, one of the prayers I prayed was, it's like, God, open up a door for this to be a yes for both of us. I was like, because I do like the possibility. Mm-hmm. Like I liked it. Mm-hmm. It's just, I was like, I don't know if we have the right steps to get there. Mm-hmm. Right. Like love the idea, but like we were pushing some things. And so some of the things I prayed for was like, okay, God, I need both of us to have the same answer. Peace on, like, I believe this is yes, but it might mean going to another section or another level. Mm-hmm. But I would really like for this to be the yes. But I was like, at the same time, I want us on the same page. You know, that's something I prayed last night. I was like, okay, God, give us the yes and let us, like, let there be a way for this yes to be comfortable.
Right.
So even 24 hours ago, you and I weren't like, I mean, we weren't even fighting. We were just like,
is that different?
Yeah. I was just like, I don't know. This doesn't feel like, not that the situation wasn't great. I was just like, mm-hmm. like I wasn't all in. I was probably 95% in and you were like 110. Like, I don't see how this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not saying it doesn't work, you know? So, just because you get a yes, it may take your spouse a longer time.
Which means that there's a difference between you having affirmation before the other.
Correct.
So there might be plenty of times where typically this happens more amongst men, women than men. But when I'm saying it, I would actually argue it's easier to make decisions in a marriage because of this. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're single, it's just you and the Lord. And so you really have to be all in with the Lord, mm-hmm. you know, with that, you know, by his spirit and everything like that. But the gift of marriage is that part, is you have your spouse to help you process that, be on the same page. And bottom line, we just decided, even before we got married, if we're not on the same page with it, we do not move. Yeah. And to the Lord's credit, he has honored that every single time, which makes me think of another filter for us regarding this question. I almost forgot it because I asked it this morning or this afternoon, mm-hmm. going back to this particular
thing. Yeah, I was
going to
say,
about.
Like, my prayer actually came to fruition when he was out grabbing lunch with a friend. And he came back and he was like, I asked the Lord a question that I haven't asked. And I was like, huh, you don't say.
So this is funny. Here's a perfect example of you and I praying through it, having two separate perspectives. And then we pray through it on our own, not even realizing it, coming back to now being on the same page.
Yeah. And because it also helps away. You not be a nagging spouse.
Yes.
You know, when you're just all like, man, I'm handing it back to God, because if it's not a yes from God, we don't move. Mm-hmm. But so when you both agree on that, it helps you say like, hey, I've already told him my, you know, I've given him my pros and cons and my mm-hmm. perspective. Now it's up to the Lord.
So here's the question that I ask, going back to the genesis of this question, mm-hmm. right? How you know if it's God or you. Another great question asked when I learned this from Andy Stanley. I want to give him credit for it. It's what's the wise thing to do? Not what's the best thing, not what's the smart thing, not what's the legal thing, not can we do it technically, right? Not even is this a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great thing.
Exactly. And here's why. This is a much better question, because there's a lot of things that you can do. There's a lot of things that are good. There's a lot of things that you legally can do. There's a lot of things by the rules and right. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 10, all things are lawful.
But not all things are helpful.
Right. Or another way of saying it, beneficial.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that you can do. There's a lot of things that are good for you. There's a lot of things that you can legally do. But is it wise? And when I asked that question this morning, as I was thinking through it, when I said prayer, like really, it was just a casual conversation with the Lord. I'm like, man, God, can we? I'm like, well, I know we can. But all that being said, I remember just going, is it wise? And as soon as I asked the question, I was like, And this is why I like the question. I mean, truly.
But it wasn't soul crushing, right?
No, no. It was, and that's what I love about it. The question actually gives you, to ask that question gives you freedom.
Yeah.
It gives you relief. So there was a disappointment because obviously there's the thing you still want. Like, we know that we could do it. And what I like about this too, guys, oftentimes it's not even, it has nothing to do with sin. Sometimes it's not even about that. Oftentimes it is. When it is, you know what you gotta do. Stop and repent. You know, the Lord's very clear in that. Jesus saying like, hey, stop that anymore. Come follow me. And he forgives that. But don't abuse that either. There are other times though, where it's not about sin. It's not about you being in a bad or unhealthy situation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the Lord just doesn't want you there.
Yeah.
Or the Lord doesn't want that for you. So the things that are very clear against his word, you just got to decide.
Right.
You don't need to pray about it.
Yep.
If you've read it, you just need to do it and be obedient and trust that God will provide for you, whatever it is that looks like. Those other things that's outside of the scripture, that's unclear, that's more personal. Those are the times where you, of course, lean on the Holy Spirit. You lean on people, you know, this is where your spiritual mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, the Lord help come into play, being led by the Holy Spirit. And you said earlier, I want to dive into, my mom taught me growing up all the time that sometimes it's easier to discern who God is by also equally knowing what he isn't. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have peace, or if you feel confused, or if there's like chaos or division, the Lord is never divided amongst himself, ever. Mm-hmm. You never see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit anywhere at any point.
Chilling in their room, separately.
Right, exactly. Being at angst with one another.
Yeah.
They're always on one accord.
Right.
So if you feel...
And that's what they drive, a Honda Accord.
Dad joke. So all that being said, if you feel chaotic, you know, or worrisome or fear or doubt, that equally has helped me to turn away from it. So there are times where I don't even so much have peace of where I'm going, you know, but there are times I don't have peace in the decision I'm about to make.
Absolutely.
Or I feel divided. I feel heavy. I feel like this weight that I can't shake.
Yeah.
Pay attention to that, because that oftentimes is not just the Lord. It's the Lord moving through his spirit. Mm-hmm. That is part of actually how the Holy Spirit moves. Mm-hmm. So when you feel something off and you can't put your finger on it, it's probably actually the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something. You just don't want to give him the credit.
Right.
So all that being said, number one, God's word, just start there first. Yeah. And you can't make decisions off of God's word if you're not in it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. So that's implied that you're reading God's word. If you know where to start, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, start in the Gospels.
I really like how you said it. You can't know the will of God if you don't know the word of God. Boom, mic drop. Let's end this podcast right now.
I would love to drop this mic, but it's very expensive. So anyways, number one, be involved in God's word. Be led by his spirit. If you're married, two is one. So if one is basically not on the same page, you don't move. Mm-hmm. You don't make that decision. Three, ask that question. What's the wise thing to do? And I forgot to add on to it. It's in past, present, future. So in light of my past experience, current circumstance, future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do?
Yeah.
Like my past experience, current circumstance, future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? And you ask it this way because, granted, we're married, and even then there's still layers to it. But my past is not your past. Mm-hmm. My current circumstances is not your current circumstances. And my future hopes and dreams aren't your future hopes and dreams. Again, it's a little different when you're married, obviously, because two is one.
Right.
But for everybody else, so this is when people go, what would you do if you were me? I appreciate the heart behind the question, because what they're saying is they value you so much, they want your opinion. So does Kara.
I was going to say, my niece has a lot of opinions, y'all. I mean, she has spoken this entire podcast.
But all that being said, it's just a reminder that at the end of the day, you have to be submissive to that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I like about the question. It gives you the freedom to go, to say, hey, I appreciate you and thank you for wanting my opinion. But I just look back at them and say, I'm not you.
Yeah.
And I don't have your circumstances and I don't have your future hopes and dreams.
Right.
So what's the wise thing for you to do?
Yeah. And I was going to add, if there are areas in your life that are not healed, if they're anything from childhood to adulthood, if there's something in your life that is not healed, work on healing those areas, because sometimes if you don't, then a no from God can just feel like an abandonment, a rejection. And then you're like, that's not God. God doesn't reject me, you know? Mm-hmm. So you've got to know that God as a father is not going to reject you or abandon you, but he will keep you safe. He will give you guardrails, right? And just because also you get a confirmation from God does not mean like a month and a half into it that difficulties will not arise. Right. Good, yeah. So don't be like, well, I thought I heard from God and he said this and look at it now. It's a mess. Okay. In this life, you'll have many tribulations. But so take
like,
heart.
Like, don't question the call once you, that's good. Once hardship arises.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
take
good.
Heart. I've overcome this world. Mm-hmm. So know that the same God that confirmed that thing in you will see you through it. Like my Houston mom used to always tell me, trust God even when you can't trace him. You know? Mm. And I'm just like, huh, okay. Cool.
Trust God even when you can't trace him. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
So hold on to the word and heal those parts that where it could feel like rebuke or rejection, because that is not who God is. God does not reject. You are called into his kingdom. You're called into his family. So you don't want to feel that way.
Yeah.
So this person asks, how do you handle conflict?
So I'm actually going to be pretty, well, I'm going to try to be short. I did an episode on this. That's why it's called
ugly laugh.
It's called Effective Conflict Management. I did an episode on it and I did it last season. Maybe you can put it in the show notes. So I'm going to give quick filters, because I want to touch on something else, the value piece, and then maybe you can help me with. But the shorter answer is four things. When it comes to effective conflict management, you have to have healthy expectations and right expectations. Mm-hmm. And it's four things. And this is all Pete Scazzaro, which is in that episode as well. But I'm going to say them and I'm going to break it down. It's conscious, spoken, realistic, and agreed upon. Mm-hmm. You got to be conscious about your thoughts. You have to speak about them. They have to be realistic and agreed upon. So if you ever have a moment in life where someone does something that ticks you off and makes you all frustrated or whatever, and you go, where did that come from? It's because mm-hmm. you're never conscious about it. You have to be conscious about it. Number two, once you are conscious about it, you got to speak about it. Mm-hmm. Many times our offenses, our frustrations, our bitterness, whatever it is because we didn't speak.
Right.
And if we have, number three, we weren't realistic.
Yeah.
We weren't realistic in the thing that we want that other person to do. You know, this isn't just in marriages. This is in all relationships. And then number four, the last one is maybe you've spoken about it. Maybe you were realistic on it, but did you ever have agreement? So you got to agree on it. Yeah. So all that being said, with all of those four filters, here's the deal. The next time you find yourself frustrated, offended, whatever it is, you have to ask yourself, did I do all four of those things? Because if you didn't, it's on you. So that's the first part. The second part is there's a time, place, way, and intent. Mm-hmm. You got to do it at the right time.
Yep.
There's a place to do it. There's a way to do it. And what is your intent?
Yeah. Don't do it in the middle of a family dinner in front of your right. extended family. Ugh, embarrassing.
Yeah.
And also, like, as a spouse, especially if it's between spouses, y'all are going to kiss and make up, but your family members won't like that other person for the rest of their lives.
Okay, unpack that. So what are you saying then?
I'm like... Even when it comes to friends, like, you know, when your friends are going through a relationship and they tell you something about their significant other and you're like, I hate them too. I hate them so much.
So this means what then?
Like, you got to keep it between yourselves.
Well, yes and no. Like, you want to keep it between yourselves.
She agreed with me. She agreed. See?
Kara was like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Year and a half old and already smart.
So here's what you're saying. You have to tell people that are emotionally mature. I do believe this. As couples, stop telling your parents.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Or your in-laws. They don't need to be in your business.
My in-laws are probably the most amazing people on this planet, and they could probably handle our crap more than anything. But here's the thing. They don't know. And the one thing, like, this will always stand out to me that I love, love, love about them is it was a month after Mark and I got married. We were driving from D.C. to...
Fayetteville.
And, there was a miscommunication between Mark and I got frustrated with him. And, like, the tension could be totally felt in the car. I mean, the car was not that big. So,
that was one of our biggest ones.
Yeah.
It's probably actually our biggest one.
It was our biggest tension. To the day.
Period. Yeah. Throughout our entire relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was lots of tension. And my sweet little sister-in-law was like, uh-oh, the newlyweds are fighting. Like,
did she say that?
Yeah. Like, she just totally. And I was like, okay, we're making it more awkward. Like, you know, everyone in the car knew that we were on bad terms right now. And I will never forget your dad said, yep. And it won't be the first time or the last time. It'll continue happening and they will.
I do not remember that.
Yeah. And he just like normalized it. And I was just like, he's a mature person. He can handle it. But I still don't tell him, you know, I don't go tell him like, well, Mark
shout out to Pops.
Yeah. And I like it. Like I just remember hearing that, and even though I was frustrated at you, I was like, man, I appreciate that. Mm. I appreciated that he said that. He was like, yeah, and it won't be the last time.
That's so good.
And I was like, oh, snap. Like, he didn't, like, make me out to be the villain. And I love that, you know, because it's easy. It's like, well, how dare you do that to my son, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Like, your parents love you and think very highly of you, so they could have totally made me the villain in that, you know? Mm. Instead of doing that, they're like your dad took that moment to normalize it and just like, yeah, and it won't be the last time in the, you know, tenor of their marriage. And I was like, okay, cool. But even with that level of maturity, I still don't tell our parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just don't. Honestly, for me, like, I'd rather tell a counselor because they're non-biased. And I'm paying them to keep their mouth shut. So
again, you should have a handful, and that's probably at the most, of people in your corner. This is when your spiritual mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and Lord come into play, and they're not echo chambers.
Right.
They're not going to gas you up. These are people who have permission to call you out on your stuff. So you have those handful of people. And even then, here's the deal. If you're married, you actually just need to spend time with the Lord. For real. Because when you spend time with the Lord, he's going to reveal things about you.
Mm-hmm. And even if you're not married, do that.
Yep. Especially if you're not married.
He will still reveal things about you if it's with a coworker that you have conflict, you know. Oftentimes, like, conflict has pointed back to what I'm lacking and where I can get better. Like, because, you know, I come in with, like, God, fix him. Smite him, oh, great smiter. And he's like, all right, but let's talk about you. And I'm like, no. Smite them. Oh, great smiter.
And every single time you spend time with the Lord. Here's what I love about the Lord, too. You can vent to him. You can say whatever you want to him. Mm-hmm. Literally anything. He's still going to bring it back to you.
Yeah. And sometimes I realized, even if I'm not in the wrong, like, after coming back, that alone time with God, I realized it's just not worth the energy that I'm putting towards having a disagreement. So for me personally, like, it just asked, how do you handle conflict? It didn't say, how do you healthily handle conflict? And I was like, I'll show you. Mm-hmm. Like, within my personality type, we don't like conflict in the sense that, for me, it's more uncomfortable not to address the conflict than to sit in a room with someone that I have conflict with. On the Enneagram, I'm an 8, through and through.
Which
and,
means?
I'm the protector. I hate the challenger, but I really am. I'm a challenger and a protector. And we kind of speak our mind a lot bit.
Partly about the reason why I married you, by the way.
Thank you. It's because I said, I want you now.
Yes. Now. Key emphasis on now.
But,
you gotta know your personality type. That's what you're saying.
Part of my personality is that people are like, oh, you love conflict and what, like, and I've had people say, like, have Juby deal with it because she's an 8. And I'm just all like, you guys think we love conflict for the fighting aspect of it. And it's not that. For me, the idea of not dealing with the elephant in the room is a way more uncomfortable alternative. Mm. So if you and I have conflict, I don't like to sit in a car together and drive 10 and a half hours knowing that we have conflict and haven't addressed it. Like, no, let's talk about it. Name of the podcast. then to say, like, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here quietly until, you know, I feel better. Mm. No, like, this is so uncomfortable. I'd rather spend that 10 hours, the half an hour in conflict, than the next 10 hours laughing,
uncomfortable.
You know, yeah. And like being pals with you,
yeah,
or with anyone else. So for me, it works well within my personality just to go ahead and handle it. And I'm very black and white when it comes to it. I'm just like, hey, it's weird. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. And that makes people it throws people off when I do that. I'm just like, hey, I've noticed things felt a little weird. Is everything okay? Is there anything you want to tell me? Like, I'm giving you opportunity. So it is important to know your personality type as well. But just have the conversation. It's just weird when you don't. Just talk about it.
And this is why I like the filters I gave earlier, the whole conscious, spoken, realistic, agreed, and then time, place, way, and intent.
Yeah.
It's a perfect equalizer for all personality types.
Right.
So regardless if you don't mind the conflict or you're passive aggressive and can avoid it, like me when I'm at my unhealthiest, the beauty of these two sets of filters is that it equalizes everybody. Like, you don't get to use your personality as an excuse, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just have to do it. And the last thing I'll say is this, because I don't think I talked about this part in that episode. Effective conflict management, go back and listen to it. I go into way more details, is you have to know your values.
Mm.
every single conflict and disagreement you ever have in your life, doesn't matter if you're married, in every single relationship, workplace, family, friends, is all about misaligned values. Mm-hmm. Every single one. Mm-hmm. So you got to know your values. So the five I would say, especially if you're married, is number one, you have to have a value statement in lordship. Number two, what's your value of marriage? What's your value of family? Mm-hmm. Notice there are two separate categories. Your kids is not part of your marriage. Your kids are your kids and they're part of the family. Mm-hmm. So your marriage value statement, your family value statement, work, and then money. So for example, for us, our financial value is, we call it the 10-10-80 rule. Tithe 10, save 10, live on 80%.
Spend 80.
Right. Exactly. the work value, it could be a memory verse, by the way. Memory verse, good grief. It could be a verse of the word.
Jesus left.
Right. Colossians 3:23
so
is our work
one. So
I
too shall weep over my account.
I don't know why I said memory verse. Good grief. Is that like I've been in Sunday school or something?
You totally said that the last time.
I did. I think I did.
Like we were having a casually conversation with someone.
I was like, have a memory verse. Like, why did I say memory verse?
We were having friends with John and Courtney. I think yes. That's when you said like, yeah, the memory. And I'm like, did this fool just say memory
anyways,
verse?
Scripture. But Colossians 3:23 says, everything you don't do as if you're working for man. You do it as if you're working for the Lord. So that's our work value statement. So here's mm-hmm. the point. When conflict arises, you have to know your value. And so you as a married couple have to decide what's this before you get into disagreements. Because not if, when the disagreement comes, you can say, this isn't honor our value statement. Whether it's something you guys came up with as a, you know, standalone written statement, or again, it's a verse you saw in scripture. And you're like, this is exactly what I want regarding our family statement or our marriage statement. So know your values. And even if, and it doesn't
and be
matter.
Be careful what scripture you pick. Oh, because if you're going to be like, I'm going to work as I'm working into the Lord, and you want to use some ungodly language on someone, like your boss or someone, and then your spouse is just like, remember our work value scripture? Ugh, no, I don't.
So this actually alludes, that's all the more reason. That is exactly all the more reason.
Like, be careful what scripture you pick, because once you're held to that standard, you're like, oh.
But that's the point. Because every single disagreement is no one wants to hold the standard.
Yeah.
And which goes to the bigger point. Your values cannot come from your background or your, because we do that. Well, that's not what I was taught. That's not how I was raised. That's not what I experienced. If you're a Christian, God's word comes first, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. So you don't get to go off of your political stance. You don't get to go off your cultural stance, you know, or your experience. Either God's word is primary in your life or you get to lead it, which mm-hmm. now if that's the case, you're your own God and God isn't.
Yeah. Let's nix this entire podcast and be like, okay, well, all right. Good talk.
Okay. One more. Last one. I'll go fast.
Last one. Okay. It says, how do you manage facts over feelings?
It's crazy because we caught up with some close friends this past weekend. So I'll use the exact same example. Both are very important. Because it's easy to think, it's easy to dismiss your feelings.
Absolutely.
And you cannot. And matter of fact, I think Jesus is the perfect example, particularly the night of the Garden of Gethsemane. Whole other thing, I actually did do that too. I think it's called God Help Me in My Suffering, something like that. But all that being said, your feelings absolutely matter, but they're not dependable. God cares about your emotions. He mm-hmm. gave them to you. Mm-hmm. 100%. One of my favorite scriptures says, do not sin in your anger.
Be angry, but do not sin.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, that's, but people don't read it like that.
Yeah.
The church has taught that oftentimes culturally.
That anger is a bad emotion.
Correct.
Yeah.
And actually at its purest form, and you taught me this, anger at its purest form, particularly when it comes from the Lord, is actually an extension of love. Mm-hmm. Because anger, when it's channeled properly, shows what it is that you desire and what you want to protect. Mm-hmm. But how you go about things matter. The thing that God's been revealing to me more than ever this year, I don't know why this year more specifically, oftentimes it's not so much what we do. More times, it's very much so how we do it. Mm-hmm. The how 100% matters.
Absolutely.
How you stand up for the thing that you value matters. Mm-hmm. How you carry yourself, how you say what you say, how you post what you post. Mm-hmm. Like the how 100% matters how he goes about things. So all that being said, think of the analogy that I have best is I think of a thermometer. A thermometer reads the temperature in the room. If you go to a house, if we go back to our house and it's 80 degrees in the house, and you can feel the heat and you go, it's so hot in here. And I go, no, it's not. Just because I'm uncomfortable with the fact that it's 80 degrees in the house. I'm going to sit up here and lie to your face and go, it's don't feel that hot. It ain't 80 degrees, right? Or because you say it's 80 degrees because we can feel it, what do? We now go to the thermostat to adjust the temperature.
Or get you a Nest and you can just change the temperature before you even get to the situation. Glory!
But even with the Nest, okay? So we're going to stick with this analogy. Even with the Nest, though we're not there physically to change it, we're still going to pull out our phone, right? Because mm-hmm. the phone is still going to show us the temperature.
Yeah.
Right? Here's my point. Your feelings, guys, is the thermometer.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, though.
It's the Nest. Thermostat.
Yeah, or the Nest. Or the Nest.
He will hold you.
But you don't know. But here's the point.
The nest of his arm.
You don't. Oh, my gosh. That was terrible. But here's the thing. You don't know what to adjust if you're not paying attention to the feeling.
Yeah.
You see my point?
100%.
So that.
Not only do I see it, I agree with it.
Ooh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Because we are on one accord.
That's right.
Because Honda. Jesus drove the Honda. Hey, stop with that.
No.
All right.
Strike Anyways. Him. Oh, my.
See, this is why I need you. This is so much more fun. But all that being said, that's how you manage the facts or the feelings. Because yeah. Jesus, too, just like the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to go. Are you kidding me? Jesus did not feel like going to the cross.
Yeah.
He had zero desire to go to it. So much so, he begged the Lord not once, not twice, three times to remove the cup of suffering. He called a spade a spade. Jesus said, God, this sucks. I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But not my will. Your will be done. He submitted. Yeah. But he was only able to submit and be moved by facts of what the Lord placed on his life by submitting to his feelings. So he sat in it fully, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
He never dismissed it. Yeah. I would argue it's because he did sit in his feelings is what led him to. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was going to say, I 1000% agree with you. I was going to say, honor your feelings. Never let someone tell you, but like, oh, she's so feely or he's so feely. No, honor your feelings, but do not build a house in your feelings. Pitch a tent because that's temporary. You can pick it up. You can keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't ever build a house on feelings.
You get to feel what you feel. You don't get to be led by it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Because your mansion's supposed to be not in feelings.
Mm.
You know, so yeah, feel what you feel, man. Like, I will never fault someone for feeling what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to.
And God isn't actually either. God's not going to fault you for what you feel.
Yeah.
The darkest thought that you have, he's not going to fault you for it.
Yeah.
He is going to hold you accountable for what you do with it.
Right.
And how you handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because trust me, I've had some wonderful thoughts. Right? Just beautiful thoughts.
And you have some hard ones. And guess what? I have too.
Yeah. And honestly, that's also when wise counsel comes into handy. You need someone to tell you, like, please pick your head up and look at it in a reasonable way. And for me, a lot of times that's you. And the truth of the matter is, like, people are like, oh, well, yeah, you have a husband. No, he was that person even when we were friends. Like, I can go back to our college days and recall times when he's just been like, hey, that's not it. You know, I was like, and I remember you gave me permission. It's like, you're allowed to feel it, but I just want you to know this is not it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not factual. So get you friends, get you wise counsel. Go to your local church and find the person that looks like they're the wisest. Mm-hmm. And they usually have the most gray hair because it's like oozing with wiseness. And just ask them. Like, they lived life. I think a lot of young adults think that people who have gone before them, they're just saying things not to be like, oh, you're party pooper, blah, blah, blah. No, like, hindsight's 20/20. Mm-hmm. So that means they've already lived it. They've already seen it. There is nothing new under the sun. And they're really trying to save you from a heartache.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to it. Like, and if you're just all like, well, I don't know if I can trust what they say, write down what they say. Take it before the Lord and pray over it, which takes us back to question number one, which was, how do I know if it's a Lord or me?
That's so good, babe.
That's how you know. You hear it, you write it, you take it before the Lord, and the Lord will not lead you to confusion. And even when it feels like hard, he will make a way.
So hear it, write it, verify it, and then be obedient to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
The end.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on the Let's Talk About It podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and take a screenshot of this right now and tag us.
Even if you didn't enjoy it.
Wait, why would they?
Just take a screenshot and tag us anyway.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got you. Like, just to give us some love?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. But
let's resolve the conflict.
But go ahead and tag us in it. Tag me on Instagram at MarkKBent2. You can tag Juby at Juby, not Judy. And you can also send any type of questions or feedback to the website, which is MarkKBenton2.com. And please leave us a review. You can do it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the website. But we would love to hear from you. We love you guys. Thank you so much once again for joining us. Love, grace, and
chicken grease.
Peace out.